bring greetings this morning in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, and welcome to everyone, especially our visitors. Glad to have you here. As was mentioned, this is a kind of a preparatory service or a self-examination service, and I don't know how you face it, but sometimes it's much easier to focus on others than it is on yourself. And that's not my intention this morning. I want to focus on myself this morning and allow God to speak to me. I told the other ministry, that seems like I'm always preaching the self-examination service and message, and I'm about running out of ideas. However, my mind was drawn to the things in our life that create or make our reputation and or character. What is the difference between reputation and character? I'd just like to open it up. What is the difference between reputation and character? Our character or our reputation? Anyone?
One is what others think about me, the other one is what I actually am.
Okay. That's finally what I came down to. It's reputation is what others think that I am, what their perception of me is, and finally my character is what I really am. Which is more important to man as a general rule? Which is more important?
Reputation.
Reputation. Why?
Is it more important than others? Or opinion?
We think it's important what others think, right? Okay, which is more important in the eyes of God?
Character.
As was stated, it seems to be more important to in the life of a natural man. Reputation is more important in the life of a natural man, because a reputation can elevate our position in life, can further our career, which in turn affects our position in the social, political, financial level, or how well we are accepted in society. Now, one thing I'd like to have clear is reputation is important, but reputation basically deals with the here and now. Is that right? It's what you think I am. Turn to, I'd like to just read two verses in Psalm 139 about searching me. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Now here it is not saying search my reputation, search my standing in life, search my position, search my whatever. It is saying search my heart, my soul. Search me and try me and know my thoughts. Sometimes we don't even know our own thoughts. I have some questions here. Which is more important to the eyes of man, reputation or character? I think we somewhat answered that. Which is more important in the eyes of God, character or reputation? In the course of the message, I'd like to, maybe this question will be answered. The first thing I thought about is, what is our reputation? Should I be concerned about what others think of me? Matthew 12. Now, I have not found a scripture that talks about reputation as far as what we're talking about here. Now, there are a couple verses that do mention reputation. Character, the word character, I didn't do a word search on that, but I don't know if that's even found in the scriptures. But the connotation is there. The idea is there. Matthew 12, verse 33. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. We'll stop there. Good character, bearing godly fruit, and our reputation is so closely related and tied together that it's kind of difficult to separate it. And yet, they aren't the same thing. Reputation and character is not the same thing. You know, I can be a good person, a godly person, I should say, and still be an outcast in society. I was reading a story, or listening to a story this past week about a man that grew up in China. And he was, as he went to high school, they had these students that were informers. In other words, they would tell the teacher if another person was bad or out of line or whatever. He was their police officer, I guess you would say, in a social standing. And he was one of them. He was a leader. He was following the socialism of China. And just for a short period of time, they had a freedom of speech, or at least they could write and speak and say whatever they wanted to. And they had demonstrations, and finally he went to, which town it was, but they had a big demonstration there, and they were hearing rumors that the military is coming in and is going to break this thing up. In the meantime, his girlfriend got sick, and they took him back to their hometown, their college town, I think. And about 5-6 days later, the military came in and started, they massacred a lot of youth, a lot of people. Because he was involved in freedom of speech, in being a leader, his reputation hit the dirt. He was in good reputation up to that point, but now he was a nobody. And they kept this, I mean, he had to write confessions and make confessions, make up confessions. He had to do all kinds of stuff just to keep them off his back. Well, they were still there. They were still harassing him. And in his school, he lost all social standing, all social clout. Oh, he was an outcast. And this went on for a couple months. And finally, he read a book about Jesus Christ. The reason I say all this is good character, bearing godly fruit, can be misconstrued as or make us become an outcast in society. We can be. They judged him after he accepted Christ as a man that is mentally ill, mentally not fit, mentally unstable. And it was just because he accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior. So reputation is not necessarily the thing that we have to be want to be careful how I say this. Reputation is important. Don't get me wrong. But reputation is also fickle in the eyes of man. My reputation is the beliefs and opinions of that others hold about me as a person based on their perception of life. You get that? Based on their perception of life. It's not what I really am, it's what they perceive me to be based on their experience of life. Now, if our character or our tree is good, we have godly fruit, then the fruit coming out of this life will be good, will be honest, pure, holy fruit. Fruit that will honor God, living in obedience to the directives of a holy God. It is impossible to have a bad character and have good fruit. It is impossible, according to this scripture. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, and an evil tree cannot bring forth good fruit. If we have a bad character, we will probably have a bad reputation among our friends, family, and neighbors, those that know us best, because we can't hide that. Now, our reputation can also be influenced by other people's interaction and dealings with me. If I do some work for a person and I do a shoddy job, that's going to affect my reputation. Yeah. And they will tell probably 100,000 other people. But if I do a good job, they might tell one. Our reputation can also be influenced by our friends and associates. Our association. Remember my mom a lot of times saying, birds of a feather flock together. You hear that one? Birds of a feather flock together. And what that means is I will be judged and associated by the friends I have. So what kind of friends do we have this morning? Are they godly? Are they good? Or are we hanging out with those that are kind of on the outskirts? Questionable. Our reputation can be influenced by rumors, even rumors and hearsay. Just hearing other people talk about me can influence their idea of my reputation. Now, and this at times can be very misleading or even false, depending on people's worldview and or spiritual condition. Let me give you an example. A man may be perceived as, when in reality, it takes much more strength to follow Jesus Christ's teaching of loving your enemies. But in the world's eyes, he is perceived as a coward because he doesn't fight. He's afraid to fight. He's too weak to fight. But he is following Christ Jesus' example. He is trying to obey him in turning the other cheek to love his enemies, to do good to them that despitefully use him and persecute him. But because of that choice or position in life makes absolutely no sense to the natural man, they naturally will judge that man by their own perspective of him. I mean, of their own life. You understand? If they would have reacted this way, that's why they would have reacted this way, is what I'm trying to say. Okay, reputation can also be a fickle thing that is here today and gone tomorrow. 1 Peter 2, 1, 11 and 12 tells us, speaking about 1 Peter 2, 11 and 12. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation or your walk of life honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak evil against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. At times, they don't even understand that. They don't understand the good works that we have in Christ Jesus. But that, and they will, again, talk about it as evildoers. But I would say if our life is such that would teach, that would make others speak evil of us because of our walk with God, then we can rejoice. We can rejoice and be exceeding glad. Our reputation, again, is important. We should be concerned that our reputation does not damage our profession of Jesus Christ. But if my profession, my reputation is dragged through the mud, the dirt, because of Christ, we can rejoice. How is my reputation, and why is it what it is this morning? What is your fruit and my fruit life? Have we brought a shadow on the gospel of Jesus Christ? When others ask us, why are you doing this? They have a question. Why am I living the way I'm doing when it's so obvious that it's not according to the scriptures? That brings a shadow upon the, there's another word, not a shadow, but a, somebody help me.
Reflection,
a bad reflection. Yeah, that's kind of the thought I wanted. Other people can damage my reputation, but they cannot damage my character. My character is what I am. All right, let's look at character. What is our character? Now, our character is made up of our moral and mental traits or qualities that make up an individual. It's what we are when we are tested, tried. It is what we are when we are all alone, when nobody sees what we can, what we are doing or where we're going or what we're looking at. That is our character. It is what we are because of the choices that we make. Character is what matters at the end of the day. Character defines the real me. You know, when Jesus Christ was living here on this earth, his character was unsullied. His character was pure and holy. But what happened at his crucifixion trial? You remember? What happened at Jesus Christ's trial? As far as other people trying to condemn him. He was falsely accused. He was accused, and they were attacking his reputation, but they could not touch his character. His character was still holy. Turn to Hebrews chapter 7. I'd like to just read you just a little bit of the character of Jesus Christ, the Bible's testimony. Hebrews 7, verse 24. But this man, because he continueth ever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for him, them. For such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins and then for the people. For this he did once when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity. But the word of the oath, which was once the law, maketh the Son who is consecrated forevermore. He was holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. So they tried to attack his reputation, and that's what they did, but they did not attack his character, because his character was out of man's control, other men's control. What is my character like this morning? Do I make choices this morning to live in obedience, to live in holiness, to live in complete surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ? You know, I don't know if his reputation was hurt at his trial or not. They couldn't agree on the false witnesses. Was his reputation? I don't know. I don't think it was, but maybe in some people's minds he was. But keep in mind, reputation again is something that others think I am. Character is what I really am, and that's where we want to. That's what we want to focus on, is our character. God knows that difference. What other people, he knows the difference between others, what others think that I am, and what I really am. A godly character is made by choices, like when we do what Isaiah did in Isaiah 50 verse 7, when he said, "I will set my face like a flint. I will set my face like a flint to do the will of God." You know, when our character and reputation are on the line, our concern should be to keep our character clean, not our reputation. To realize that others can damage my reputation, but only we have the power to damage our character by the responses and choices we make in life. Now, what is a godly character? How do we get it? And how do we maintain it? I had to think of Acts 5, verse 29, says the apostles' testimony, where it says, "We obey God rather than men." I have a couple, about three or four here. Living a life void of offense. Acts 24. This is Paul's testimony. Verse 14 through 16. "But this I confess unto thee," this was Paul's testimony after the Jews brought Paul to Felix. And they had this Tertullus to accuse Paul, and which he did there in the first part of the, there in verse 4, 5, and 6, I think. And then verse 10 says, "Then Paul, after the governor had beckoned unto him to speak, answered." Now verse 14, this is part of his testimony. "For this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets, and have hope towards God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and unjust. Verse 16, "And herein do I exercise myself, to always have a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men." This conscience here is talking about a life of his moral life. I can't find that definition. I had it written down here somewhere, I thought. But it's this, the moral compass of life, the moral being within our heart. He is saying that he has lived a life void of offense toward God and toward all men. Paul was concerned that his moral conscience is void of offense toward God and man. His life is actively inoffensive toward God and man, not leading himself or others into sin. To worship God through Jesus Christ. His concern was to live in obedience to God instead of being concerned about keeping his reputation intact with the Jews. Now let's keep in mind that there are some people who will take offense when we make a choice to follow Christ. There are always going to be some people that will take offense towards people that really want to follow Christ. That's not what he's talking about. He is talking about this offense between him and God, this lack of moral deficiency between him and God, between him and man. He is talking about being a complete surrendered Christian to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, void of offense. Another one is being open and sincere. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 12. For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world and more abundantly to you. Simplicity and godly sincerity. That is being open and sincere with each other. We are to have a walk of life in simplicity and sincerity is without dissimulation or without the idea of trying to trick you to think that I am somebody when I really am not. It's a dissimulation. It's a hypocrisy. Paul is saying that he's rejoicing in this, that the testimony of his life was without hypocrisy. He was open and sincere with God and with each other. This godly sincerity is in clearness and in purity. There is nothing hidden or off limits in my life to God or man. This simplicity and godly sincerity is more concerned by our standing with God than it is with trying to walk in fleshly wisdom. And again, I'd like to ask us the question, how do we walk this morning? Are we open? Are we sincere? Are we without hypocrisy? Is my life, can you touch my life? Can we touch your life as a congregation? If I am not open, then I question whether we have a godly character. Another one is being an example. 2 Corinthians 4. Verse 2 and 3. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. For if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Commending. That word commending means to exhibit, to show, to help others see what it means to walk in sincerity and in godly truth. what it means to give to every man how to live a right conscious life before God. What it means to live the gospel life. Showing others, being an example, ourselves to you. If I would be an example to you, then I would have a godly character. Example of Christ's love, walking in Christ's love. And if you are that to me, then you are a God, have a godly character. We are being an example of what it means to walk in truth. That is part of a godly character. Next one is being a prayer warrior. 2 Timothy 1. Verse 3. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience. When it says that pure conscience, that is talking about the moral integrity of our heart, the moral part that makes up myself, my character. That without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers day and night, night and day. Do I pray one for another? How much time do we spend in prayer? I know that I don't do enough of that. It is a struggle to find enough time. Yeah, to find enough time to pray. Seems like life calls. Life just demands more and more of us. And finally, we wake up and find we haven't had time to pray. Part of a godly character is to be a prayer warrior. May we be a prayer warrior for each other and for God. And the last one is Hebrews 9, verse 14. Talks about Christ, the blood of Christ. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot unto God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? You know, it is by the grace of God that we can, like somebody said, even experience the grace of God. It is by the grace of God that we can even experience the grace of God. It is by the grace of God that we can, that He, the power of God, that He has purged my heart and your heart from dead works to serve the living God. Do we want godly characters? Then let's live a life void of offense. Let's be open and sincere, to walk in simplicity and sincerity, to be an example, and to be a prayer warrior. And last but not least, realize that it is the grace of God that gives us power to do so. It is by His power, by His grace, that we can have our moral life renewed and be made a new creature in Christ Jesus. I think with these thoughts, we'll kneel for prayer.